Road trips often cover long distances. Today, we begin a journey that stays in Phoenix along one street. But those 16 miles cover a lot of territory.
People don't come over to South Phoenix unless they have to. You know, still, with the stigma.
I'm Mark Brody.
And I'm Steve Goldstein. Today on the show, we kick off our series, Central, also School of Rock, learning about STEM fields by building electric guitars.
Another fight in Arcadia over what to do with a Frank Lloyd Wright house.
And what is it about the Arizona desert that attracts people on spiritual quests?
Tibet and Arizona look almost identical. The main difference is that Arizona is much, much hotter. But otherwise, it's this desolate landscape. We have boulders piled on top of each other.
Plus, a tiny desert concert and Dancing with the Stars, Sun City style.
That and more on the show after a check of this hour's news.
Good afternoon. It's the show on KJZZ. Along with Steve Goldstein, I'm Mark Brody. A number of problems on Valley freeways at this hour, including U.S. 60 westbound at Alma School, 101 northbound at the 60, 202 westbound the Red Mountain Freeway. An accident at the 101 has the right lane blocked, and on I-70 northbound at Camelback. It'll be sunny for the rest of the day today. Look for a high of 94. Sunny weekend as well, with highs right around 95 each day. It's 90 degrees right now.
Medical marijuana researcher Dr. Sue Sisley is another step closer to beginning clinical trials in Arizona. As KJZZ's Carrie Young reports, Sisley plans to conduct the research in the Phoenix metro area.
After struggling to get university support of a medical marijuana study, Sisley moved forward with plans to conduct the research independently. And this week, a private, federally regulated institutional review board approved that request. An IRB is a committee that reviews and approves research using human subjects. Sisley says her research will examine the safety and effectiveness of marijuana as a treatment for veterans with PTSD.
Our goal is to collect the most objective data so that eventually it can be published in peer-reviewed medical journals.
Sisley says the study is now waiting on access to a federal supply of the study drug. Carrie Young, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The Peoria Unified School District's governing board has held off on making a decision on whether to move to a four-day school week, at least for now. Officials estimate the change would save the district nearly $4 million. It's facing a deficit of roughly half that. At an hours-long hearing last night, teachers, parents, state lawmakers, and others told the board what they thought. Parent Brooke Kistner was not impressed with the legislators in attendance.
We sat up all night long as this budget was voted on, watching people fall asleep. You're talking about my child's future, and you guys are falling asleep and knitting and reading books? Is absolutely unacceptable.
Board members say they'll continue to study the proposal to switch to a four-day school week.
The federal government spent more than $700,000 to repair part of a steel border fence that was knocked down by debris from a rainstorm last summer. Repairs on the 60 feet of rebar-reinforced fencing in Nogales were finished in December. Agents realized the fence was down in July after heavy rain in Nogales, Mexico, caused debris to build up against the fence, toppling it.
Today, we start a new series called Central. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take a road trip along Central Avenue from South Mountain to North Mountain. It's about a 16-mile drive and includes some of Phoenix's most well-known neighborhoods. We'll be looking at some of the unique features that give this stretch of road so much character. We'll also meet some of the people along the route and take a closer look at the similarities and differences along this major thoroughfare. We start today on the southern end of Central. I'm standing by an entrance to South Mountain Park. The road continues for a little while into the park, but for our purposes, this is the southernmost part of Central. The park itself is more than 16,000 acres, one of the biggest municipal parks in the country.
It's a beautiful mountain.
Norma Munoz has lived in South Phoenix for almost 50 years. For the last 30, she's lived in the same house right on Central, about 2 miles north of the park's entrance.
And in the springtime, the wildflowers start to bloom. And we, who are from here, take drives on a Sunday just to see the wildflowers because they're beautiful. They just cover the mountain.
Munoz, who also serves on the Roosevelt School District Governing Board, says South Phoenix still gets a bad rap, which she says is undeserved.
People don't come over to South Phoenix unless they have to. You know, still, with the stigma.
The stretch of Central where Munoz lives is more commercial than residential. There's a car wash right across the street from her house. And some residents would like to see more development, but it's got to be the right kind.
I don't have anything against McDonald's or Jack in the Box, but we have plenty of those.
Tommy Espinoza is president and CEO of Raza Development Fund, which finances community development projects across the country, mostly in Latino and low-income neighborhoods. We met at Ranch Market on Central and Southern, which, as you can hear, is a lively grocery store.
So I think what you'll see is a new wave of restaurants and services that presently don't exist that'll just elevate the whole economy in South Phoenix.
Espinoza expects that to happen, especially along the planned light rail extension down Central to Baseline, and he's not alone.
I think that South Phoenix could open up to the rest of the city as a very special place with a metro.
Norma Munoz acknowledges that will inevitably change the neighborhood, but is confident its culture will stay strong. She believes light rail will help connect South Phoenix with the rest of the valley. That would give residents a way to get to jobs, schools, and attractions outside the neighborhood, and non-residents an easy way to see what South Central is all about.
I think there's good in it, but there's also, we got to be cautious that it can destroy what's existed there for, you know, decades in a matter of a few years.
Victor Vidalis has lived in South Phoenix for most of his life. The 41-year-old owns Remax New Heights Realty on Central, a little south of Southern.
We don't have in this community some of the institutional type of businesses here, where there's a lot of mom and pops here on South Central, and light rail construction can put those companies out of business permanently. So being a small business myself and having a frontage right on Central Avenue, I do have a little bit of concern about that.
Vidalis, though, also sees opportunity in empty lots along Central. He'd like to see more retail, restaurants, and healthcare in the neighborhood, saying it'd be nice to be able to keep residents' money in the area. But he and others know it'll be a challenge to both provide opportunities for new businesses and entrepreneurs, while at the same time not putting the existing mom and pops that currently line the street out of business. Vidalis also says it's essential to bring in and keep young talent, and that includes his own family.
One of the things that I told my daughter is that, you know, yeah, I'll pay for your education and I'll invest in you, but you need to at least spend 4 years after you graduate college and come serve the community, because the community needs you.
And Vidalis is optimistic about other millennials with long-standing family ties to the area helping its transformation.
My name is Adrian Reese, executive director with Espiritu Community Development, a K-12 charter school operator in South Phoenix.
Ruiz is 28, grew up in South Phoenix, and after leaving for a few years, he came back. And he says he's not the only one. Ruiz, though, says change has to be gradual and points out that when people come into an area and don't talk to those who are already there, long-time residents can feel left out.
There are things that are of value, you know, of importance to a community that have been long-standing here, to make sure that those are not neglected. Because if once you do that, what you're saying is that those values aren't important.
One of the values many residents of South Central take note of is diversity. Ethnic and cultural diversity, yes, but also economic diversity. Norma Munoz says there are a lot of beautiful homes in the area, but many are behind gates.
And this is bothersome because, you know, people come, they go to work, they get it back into their little gated area, and they don't ever really get to know the people and the community.
Munoz says that affects the community's economy if those residents don't eat and shop in South Phoenix. But new development in the neighborhood isn't just more buildings and pavement. This section of Central is bracketed by big swaths of natural open space. On the south end, of course, there's South Mountain, and on the north end, the Rio Salado or Salt River and Audubon, Arizona, which are part of Phoenix's 600-acre Rio Salado Habitat Restoration Area. Kathy Wise is Audubon, Arizona's education director and says it used to be a lot different.
A lot of the South Phoenix residents remember what it looked like. They remember it being a dump. And now they drive over the bridge every day to work and back home, and they're seeing the landscape transformed.
Is it hard to do what you're trying to do, given the proximity to downtown and with all the planes flying overhead?
Yes and no, because it provides that good example of we can coexist and it works out. There are times when we wish it was a little quieter.
Quiet is something that could be in short supply along South Central over the next several years with all the development planned both along the light rail and elsewhere. Tommy Espinoza has high hopes for the area.
When I'm in New York, I enjoy going to Chinatown or to Little Italy and to all those parts of the community that lend itself to the cultural richness of all the diversity of groups.
Do Do you think that this could turn into that kind of area for Phoenix?
It will become that. It will become the new Phoenix.
He predicts South Phoenix will become a center of culture and that more people will see it as a vibrant community. After all, he says everyone wants to live by a mountain. As our trip up Central continues next Thursday, we'll look at the section between the Salt River and McDowell. And there's a whole lot more for you to check out online. You can hear more from some of the people who live and work along Central, see photos from the entire stretch of the road, check out maps of the neighborhood, and much more. It's all at kjzzcentral.tumblr.com. And still to come, we'll hear a tiny desert concert from a band that aims to have a sound of the desert.
The beauty of the place we're in, I think that translates, and we try to capture it in ways that might be a little less real and specific and more emotional.
That's ahead. It's the show.
Good afternoon with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein. You are listening to the show. We're bringing you more voices from our community and neighborhoods mixed with national and international stories. If you're just joining us and missed the start of our new series, Central, you can listen to the first installment as well as see tons of photos, maps, and explore the street at theshow.kjzz.org. What a great way to spend your Friday afternoon.
KJZZ is supported by Subaru Superstore Chandler, a local family-owned and operated dealership. Featuring the 2015 Forester with 32 mpg and enhanced safety features for anything life throws at you. Online at shopsubaru.com.
Good afternoon. That's the KJZZ Spring Member Drive. You, along with other members, provide the single largest and most important source of funds that pay for the quality programs you expect on KJZZ, and new members are critical to the success of your community news station. So please take a moment and join us online at kjzz.org or by calling 888-774-9150. I'm Steve with Mark.
Yeah, and if you make that contribution right now, you'll get yourself entered to win the I Love New York contest for two, 5 days, four nights in a four-star hotel, round-trip airfare for two, $500 in spending money. It's a great opportunity, but you can only get in on this by going to kjzz.org. You can donate directly from the KJZZ mobile app or by calling 888-774-9150.
And you can really compare for yourself just how much Central Avenue resembles New York City and whether Phoenix would want Central to be like that, all bustly and lots of stuff going on. There's no city like New York. I say this, Mark, as someone who grew up in the suburbs of Phoenix, far away from the madding crowd, but it's still just such a high-energy place, so many amazing things to do. 888-774-9150. Support public radio as well. That's why you're listening right now, because of how the programs like The Show and All Things Considered and Morning Edition enrich your life, teach you about what's going on in the world. 888-774-9150.
You know, even if you don't end up winning that trip, you can turn on your radio knowing that you have done something good for your public radio station, that when you turn on the radio or fire up the app on your smartphone or stream on your computer, you know that you have helped make that happen. That's the whole point of public radio. Listeners become supporters. You don't hear commercials on KJZZ. That's because we rely on your generous financial support to make all this happen. So that's why we're asking you to make a donation during the short spring member drive. You can do so from the mobile app at kjzz.org or by calling 888-774-9150.
And certainly when a major event happens in the world, internationally, or if something happens in Washington, D.C., or something that you really feel like you need to know about what's going on, you tune to 91.5. There's no question about it. But now, with the expansion of our original programming here, the expansion of the show, a series like Central, so many other things going on, I mean, it's one of those things where maybe in the past a little bit your backyard was ignored a little bit. That's no longer the case. This is truly your community news station. When you want to find out what's going on at a school board meeting, if you want to find out what's going on in your backyard, what's an interesting art event going on? This is where you turn, 91.5. So now we're asking you to make a contribution that reflects how much listening you do. Do you listen 5 days a week, 7 days a week? Do you never turn off 91.5? Please make a generous contribution at kjzz.org.
Yeah, we're able to do things now that we were never able to do before. I mean, if you look at the odometers on your car and my car and our producer's cars, that just going out into the community and you know, putting miles on the cars to get stories from our communities, from your neighborhood, from your, you know, whether you live in Gilbert or Glendale or any part of the valley, you're going to hear stories from your area here on KJZ, especially here right on the show. So we're asking you to please put a dollar value on that listening. Is it, you know, can you do maybe $5 or $10 a month? That's great. Can you do maybe $20 a month? Wonderful. Whatever the amount, the important thing is that you stand up and be counted and say, yeah, this is important to me. I'm going to show my support for this program, for this radio station. It is your radio station. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
And this community resource is here for you every day. When you wake up, Morning Edition. When you go home at the end of the day with work, All Things Considered. There's Marketplace. This weekend, you'll get Weekend Edition. You'll get Wave Wave, Don't Tell Me, This American Life. The number of programs that you want to listen to, it's almost countless. So give us a call right now and say, yes, I understand the importance of this. I understand why it needs to keep going. And I understand also that I'm the most important source of that funding, you as a listener becoming a member. Give us a quick call, 888-774-9150.
And Steve, one more thing to understand is that when you make your contribution right now, you're entered to win the I Love New York contest for two. Again, don't forget about this. 5 days, four nights in a four-star hotel, round-trip airfare for two, $500 to spend however you want it. If you want to blow it all on pizza and cheesecake, that's cool. Make your contribution right now, KJZZ.org, or by calling 888-774-9150. And thank you.
Famed architect Frank Lloyd Wright died more than 55 years ago in Phoenix, but battles over his legacy are continuing. A house he'd built for his son David and daughter-in-law Gladys in the Valley's Arcadia neighborhood was on the cusp of being sold to someone who would have torn it down. The house was saved from bulldozers when Las Vegas-based attorney Zach Rawling purchased it. But now Rawling's plans for the property have upset some neighbors. Mike Sunnix of the Phoenix Business Journal describes those plans.
He's acquired some adjacent properties in that area, and that's raised some red flags with some of the residents, neighbors around there, because they want to make it an event space, open it up for tours, have field trips there, and really kind of be kind of a Taliesin West type operation, have an archives. And he's a real enthusiastic Frank Lloyd Wright fan since he was a child, and so that's kind of raising some concerns among the neighbors about traffic and impact on the neighborhood there.
That particular street, Exeter, is known as having some of the biggest houses in the valley outside of Paradise Valley. When they hear that someone wants to make an event space that might be like Taliesin, I'm sure they're thinking, well, Taliesin is in the middle of the desert, not in the middle of this extremely tony area.
Peter Sperling, the chairman of the University of Phoenix and Apollo Group, lives there. There's an $8 million estate listed across the street. And so we're not just talking like kind of the typical Arcadia house we're thinking of. This is super wealthy. Yeah, this is Paradise Valley type housing prices and wealth there. What Zach Rawling and the folks at the Wright House are saying they're going to do is they're going to lease parking space from the Church of Christ, which is right on Camelback there, right across from the Royal Palm. To give people kind of a map, and have the folks park there for events, and then they would enter the property from the church, so they wouldn't be driving in the neighborhood and parking on the street back there. They say, you know, it's not going to have the kind of congestion or people just parking everywhere on these kind of leafy, well-heeled street. That's obviously not, you know, going over well with some of the neighbors that are quite wealthy and, you know, are seeing a Taliesin type of bunch of tourists come in. I think there's about 120,000 people visit Taliesin West annually. Obviously, a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright fans that would go to that would probably come to this too and check this out. Parking lot at the church there is pretty ample. There's 130 spots there.
Is this something that could be settled amicably, or should we expect lawyer versus lawyer on this?
Well, he's hired Paul Gilbert, Zach Rawling, the Wright House people, who's one of the more noted land use attorneys. He's got some PR guys working for him, and the other side have hired some attorneys too. And they're going to go to the Phoenix. This will go before the Phoenix City Council. They'll probably try to get a special use permit. I think one of the concerns the neighbors had was, is this going to set some kind of precedent that the city will allow for commercial uses or events in a residential area like that? And Zach Rawling, the owner of the house, kind of says, well, we'll just do a special use permit, so this will be kind of a one-off type thing. But yeah, I think you could see, you know, certainly some battles at the city level, you know, and when you have people of this kind of pocketbook, you know, they do have attorneys at their disposal. It kind of reminds you kind of a not in my backyard type case, something would happen more back east or in California that we don't seem to have here very often.
Mike Sunnick, senior reporter for the Phoenix Business Journal. Mike, thank you as always.
Thanks, Steve.
When you picture education for science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM, you might think of scientific instruments like test tubes, robots, and calculators. But how about musical instruments? Science and innovation correspondent Andrew Bertier takes us to the School of Rock.
To start, we need a quick lesson on electric guitar physics. A player plucks a taut metal string which vibrates over a magnetic pickup housed in a wood body. That manipulates an electric current traveling from the pickup, down the cord, and to the speaker, which vibrates according to the electrical current. The speaker moves and smacks the air molecules in front of it, which causes a chain reaction of other air molecules until it hits your eardrum. That brings us to STEM Guitar, a national program of traveling community college instructors who visited the Valley recently. The program works with teachers to teach STEM to students through guitar building.
The STEM Guitar project started just over 6 years ago. We had a grant from the National Science Foundation that looked at product lifecycle management. And so we worked on trying to discover a product that we could take the birth to death life cycle of.
Thomas Singer teaches mechanical engineering in Dayton, Ohio, and is helping lead the workshop. He says while STEM Guitar started as a product lifecycle analysis project, it has evolved into a comprehensive curriculum and training program. And Singer says the change came from a simple concept.
Not all students learn the same way. Some need the hands, some need the visuals, some need auditory.
The workshop fills a room at Mesa Community College. In the corner is Dr. Mark French from Purdue University, who is feverishly hand-sanding a solid wood body.
The nice part about a solid body guitar like this one is it's, you know, in concept, it's just a really nice stick with strings on it. So that takes some of the fear away.
Dr. French has written extensively on the math and physics of guitar building. He says while ornate designs and paint jobs can draw attention, the instrument is useless without precise measurements and calculations.
There's about a 5-inch wide stripe up the middle of the body where everything has to be correct. The dimensions have to be correct. Everything has to line up. Once you get outside that 5 inches, outside that and behind the bridge, now you get to do whatever you want.
Nancy Wilson Chang, a math teacher from Washington State and an earlier participant, stresses that if you want to finger pluck, strum, or shred, you should probably know your math.
There's so much algebra involved, especially when you're talking about fret position and just how this piece of wood and metal creates music. It's not just arbitrary.
Wilson Chang oversees a row of teacher participants in the mid-stage of building the guitar, which is assembling the wiring on the inside of the body.
You have this wiring diagram, and these are your pickups, and this is the wiring harness, and everything has to be soldered together. So we have people with lots of soldering experience and people who've never soldered before, which is where I was at the first time I built a guitar.
I asked local Montessori teacher Pat Barton where her understanding is. She gave her similar response.
Pretty much none, so they're all helping me out, but I'm getting through it.
Barton feels confident that if she can get through the workshop, so can her students.
I always feel like if you give them enough steps and enough practice, you know, children can do things you don't expect, or we don't always let them.
Norm Geiger teaches at Ganado High School on the Navajo Reservation.
Oh, they love it. It's great because, of course, like anybody, they learn with their hands. There's really not a great difference between Navajo students and any other culture. It's all learned pretty much the same way.
Geiger unwraps a bass guitar neck from a student as other participants start to gawk.
Oh, that's beautiful. Really nice.
This guy has been working on this probably for about 12 hours, but he sanded it down to 1,500 grit.
Across the room, the teachers' faces light up as they build their guitars.
If you're a little kid or an adult, these adults who are professional educators in this room, we learn the same way as if you're in third grade or 10th grade.
And I'll say that I wanted to sit down and start building too. Andrew Bernier, KJZZ News.
The television show Dancing with the Stars pairs professional dancers with people you know, actors, athletes, even an astronaut. But as the show's Annika Klein found out, fame is not a requirement to be a part of Dancing with the Sun City Stars.
You don't even need to know how to dance.
Never had a dance lesson, never stepped on a ballroom floor, so no time like the present.
Filled out a card, said yes. They didn't ask me if I could dance, but here we are.
The competition was opened up to all 44,000 residents of Sun City, and six were drawn from a hat. These six contestants had the opportunity to rehearse a dance for 1 week with professional dancers from the Utah Ballroom Dance Company. Ben Roloff and Danny Dunmire are stepping to the tune of Jailhouse Rock. Roloff is a retired football coach, and now Dunmire is his dancing coach.
And it's awesome. It, you know, challenges me as a teacher to figure out what makes them tick and how they're going to learn the steps.
And if you think you can't teach a retiree new tricks, well, then you haven't seen Roloff flip Dunmire over in the middle of their routine.
That was really good. You did your homework.
It looks pretty cool.
Well, looks are deceiving.
Other contestants have learned to mambo, shimmy, two-step, and even act. Like in this Pink Panther combo, where a detective dances his way into handcuffs, and the criminal gets away with the cash. Roloff says when it all comes to an end tonight, he'll be feeling mixed emotions. One of those will be relief that he made it through.
It's been a great week, but it'll also be nice to get back to golf and some of the usual senior retirement activities.
Yep, it's back to the usual next week for these stars. But maybe helping Dunmire with her backflip will help Roloff with his backswing. It's the show. I'm Annika Klein.
Good afternoon. Checking Valley traffic at this hour. Some stretches of freeway, drivers are not having the times of their lives because we have a few accidents to watch out for. 51 northbound at Thomas, the HOV lane is blocked. Other accidents, I-10 eastbound at 19th Avenue, and the 202 westbound at the 101, right lane is blocked there. It'll be a sunny, hot weekend around the valley. Look for high temperatures both tomorrow and Sunday near 95. It's currently sunny and 90.
This is The Show, a KJZZ original production mixing news and stories from Phoenix and the Valley with those from the rest of the world. And today we started our new series, Central, in which we road trip up Central Avenue from South Mountain to North Mountain. And there's a ton of stuff to see and explore at our new Tumblr site, kjzzcentral.tumblr.com. Frankly, it's a great way to waste the rest of your workday.
KJZZ is supported by Victory at Verado, now open with completely new home designs and floor plans. You've waited 55 years for Victory, and it's here. Learn more at verado.com/victory.
Good afternoon. Along with Mark Brody, I'm Steve Goldstein. This is the KJZZ Spring Member Drive. Thanks to everyone who's already supported the station during this drive. KJZZ relies on members like you for the largest share of the funding that pays for programs like The Show and All Things Considered and Morning Edition, all the other programs you need and enjoy. Please join us right now with a contribution at 888-774-9150.
And when you make your gift at KJZZ.org, on the KJZZ mobile app, or by calling 888-774-9150, you'll be automatically entered to win the I Love New York contest for two, 4 nights in a 4-star hotel in New York, $500 in spending money, round trip airfare for two from Phoenix to New York City. What a great opportunity to explore a great city, which is very, very unlike Phoenix in pretty much every way, I think. And it can be yours on someone else's dime. So make your contribution right now. Get entered to win this thing. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
New York City, of course, one of the most important, vibrant cities in the world. Phoenix is a growing community, becoming more diverse every day. We hope we've brought you a lot of that in listening to The Show, some of our other original programming, and the reports that we have throughout the day. So many different things going on. I would imagine that over the last few days, at least, if you've been listening to 91.5, you have heard something you either didn't know or you learned a lot more about something you thought you knew. That's part of the reason you listen. It enriches your life. It expands upon your experiences. So the fact that you're listening means you think it's important. We're asking you now to make a contribution that fits with your budget. Give us a call at 888-774-9150.
Yeah, that's how public radio works when listeners become supporters. You don't hear commercials on KJZZ. That's why we have these short member drives to try to convince you to support the radio that you are listening to. You know, one of the great ways to do that is to become a sustaining member of KJZZ. You set up a certain amount of money to come off your credit card or out of your checking account each month. Maybe it's $5, maybe it's, you know, $10 or $20 a month, whatever the amount. It's a great way to not have to worry about whether you've done your part, whether you've made your contribution. And it's also a great way to make sure that the station has a reliable and predictable source of revenue. So when you make that call at 888-774-9150, 9150 or donate online at kjzz.org. It literally takes like 2 minutes to set this up. So think about doing that, kjzz.org.
And when you become a member of KJZZ, tell us about what you care about. What stories do you think we're telling well? Stories that maybe aren't being told? What are your favorite programs? Tell us more about those things. It'll make us better as a community. It'll make us better as a community resource and a radio station. Give us a call right now with that gift of support at 888-774-9150. And when you get in,
you can win the New York I Love New York contest for two. Again, 5 days, 4 nights in a 4-star hotel, round trip airfare for two, $500 to spend however you want in New York City. Yes, New York City is expensive, but $500 will still get you pretty far there. Make the contribution right now. Get entered to win this and do something good. Make an investment in your public radio listening habits. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
Give us a call right now. Become a member of this radio station. It's how public radio survives and thrives in the future. The number again is 888-774-9150 or go to kjzz.org. And thanks. Three years ago, a mysterious death occurred in the southern Arizona desert. Ian Thorson was part of a group of Tibetan Buddhists at the Diamond Mountain Center, founded by Michael Roach. Roach is the first American to reach the title of Geshe, literally meaning one who knows virtue in Tibetan Buddhism. Some have expressed concern that Thorson took the teachings he learned at Diamond Mountain too far. In his new book, A Death on Diamond Mountain, Scott Carney explores Thorson's death, how Roach became powerful and popular, and why Arizona seems to attract so many people on spiritual journeys.
There is something about Arizona. Perhaps it's the desolate landscape in Cochise County where the book primarily takes place. Perhaps it's the fact that there's wide open spaces. Perhaps that it's just something that inspires inner searching because you're in such this open place. But the history of Arizona is certainly that you can find isolated locations in which to practice whatever belief you want. I mean, I think Arizona certainly gets a reputation of being sort of a conservative state, a very Christian state. But there are so many groups that have come here and have set up their own churches, whether they're evangelical churches, whether they're Mormon outposts, whether it's these fringe Hindu or Buddhist groups that find home in the fact that they can be isolated and practice whatever they want without too much scrutiny or people coming in and looking for them. And Arizona's often welcomed these people.
And as you mentioned, one chapter in the book talks about the Chiricahuas, talks about Cochise County. Is there something especially unique about that that made Michael Roach want to put his masterpiece there?
Absolutely. And it's the Apache history there. Thousands of years, there were Native Americans living in this area, whether it was the Hohokam or the Apache. And when white settlers moved in and the Union Army came in, there was a horrific and very, very bloody war that happened throughout Cochise County, where there was a reservation that was then shut down. Geronimo had massacred settlers for years, and the Union Army chased them. And many of those events happened at a place called Fort Bowie, which is literally the property right next door to where Diamond Mountain takes place. That's where Geronimo both did a vision quest, where he was in the mountains and got in touch with God, so he said. And it's also where he was finally deported after he'd been captured in northern Mexico and then brought back to Fort Bowie. He was in prison there. His brothers were killed there. It's a landscape that has a very bloody and difficult history. And when Roach moved there, he wanted to connect with this violent history. And they said they also wanted to heal it. They wanted to bring their own beliefs to map on top of this area to cleanse the landscape.
When the leader of a group like this claims or says that he has achieved a certain height, does that put sort of inordinate pressure, inordinate discomfort on those who would be his followers to think, well, if he can do this, then it isn't. I really thought this was about the journey, but I guess it's not. Can that become confusing and troubling?
Well, the people who are in the group believed it. You know, when I was in Phoenix a couple of years ago, I went to one of the lectures that Roach was giving, and I was standing in line to ask him a question about the death that happened there. And the woman right in front of me was this 50-ish Indian woman, and she was just bubbling with excitement. And I overheard her say, "I can't wait to meet the enlightened one." And I think, in a way, many of us want to know someone who has the answers, right? Wouldn't it be easy if we knew a person out there, or there was a person out there who really did know why the sun comes up every morning, what the meaning of life is, and they could just tell it to you. And it's very easy. It's almost relaxing to have that faith in another individual. And the people at Diamond Mountain give themselves over to the guru very willingly and look for that truth.
When people think about training for sending our troops to the Middle East, for example, they come to Arizona because it resembles the Middle East in so many ways. Some people almost see similarities to Tibet as well. Is that true? Is that part of why this is such an attractive place?
Tibet and Arizona look almost identical to me. I traveled there about 10 years ago. And the main difference is that Arizona is much, much hotter. But otherwise, it's this desolate landscape. We have boulders piled on top of each other. There aren't cactuses in Tibet. But other than that, it's remarkably similar. And it's interesting, the first American to ever go to Tibet, it was in the 1930s. His name was Theos Bernard, and he was a native of Tombstone, Arizona. He went to Tibet and came back in robes and declared himself the reincarnation of this Tibetan saint named Padmasambhava, who was one of the most important saints in Tibetan Buddhism. There's something, and I haven't been able to suss out exactly what it is, but there's Arizona attracts this and brings this out in people, these people who are spiritually searching and then go on to do grandiose things with what they think they've found.
Scott Carney is the author of A Death on Diamond Mountain, A True Story of Obsession, Madness, and the Path to Enlightenment. Scott, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Before and during World War II, Arizona was home to several military training stations. Today, there are a few remnants of the facilities. One in particular was recently opened. KJZZ's Nadine Arroyo-Rodriguez reports.
At the southern end of ASU Polytechnic campus is a wide-open landscape. On one end of the area is a bed of solar panels. On the other is a small college campus. And in between are two small mounds of dirt. These are ammo bunkers. Did you know the ammo bunkers at the ASU East Campus have been here since the 1940s?
You've got basically a structure here that's cast in place concrete, built in 1942 by Del Webb.
Arizona historian Vincent Murray and I stand together, watching as an ASU team of workers use a tractor to pull the concrete barricade from in front of one of the ammo bunker doors. It's been barricaded to protect it from vandalism.
Yeah, this is one of the last vestiges of the Williams Field / Williams Air Force Base. It's where they would store ammunition for when they were actually doing the pilot training out here, both during World War II and then shortly after that.
The exterior of the bunker is a mound of dirt in a dome shape, divided in half, with an open space in between the two pieces. On one end is the actual bunker, with a concrete wall and a reinforced steel door. On the opposite side is another concrete wall. It's called a blast wall. Most ammunition bunkers are designed like this to assure that if one was to explode, the blast would be contained to its surroundings.
They refer to these now ECMs. An ECM is earth-covered magazine. So you basically then have your structure here, and then they, of course, have piled earth over the top of it to help protect it as well.
We could go in?
Yes, you can go in.
Like me, this is Murray's first time seeing the bunker up close.
It's a dome-like.
Yeah, it's very much the arch dome.
The cylinder-shaped space is empty. This is about 12 feet high and 25 feet wide. The dusty concrete floor barely shows the yellow lines on the ground.
It's probably where they had the shelving and everything set up so that they could actually store the ammunition.
There's also a drainage system built onto the ground on one side of the floor. Above us, against the back wall, is a square-shaped ventilation hole covered with a wire mesh.
The floor, it also is basically tied into where it's grounded to, so it could protect it from lightning. It's really interesting to see something that's as old as this and still in this good a shape. Pretty much you could come in here with a broom and spray the place down, and you've got a nice storage building.
And that's what ASU used it as when it first acquired the facility, but it's now kept closed. Murray says the bunkers are recognized as historical sites. As we step out of the bunker, the workers close it again. It's the show. I'm Nadine Arroyo Rodriguez.
If you've got ideas or hear things that make Phoenix unique, send us a note, theshow@kjzz.org.
Good afternoon. This is the show on KJZZ with Steve. I'm Mark, and it is no fun on Valley Freeways right now. Among the accidents, I-70 northbound at the I-10 stack, an accident blocking the exit ramp there. 51 northbound, an accident at Thomas blocks the HOV lane. 101 northbound in the East Valley, an accident at the 60. And I-10 eastbound in the West Valley, an accident at Estrella Parkway has the right lane blocked. It'll be sunny right on through the weekend. Look for highs of 95 for both tomorrow and Sunday. It's 90 degrees right now.
Thanks for listening to the show. It's a KJZZ original production, mixing the voices from our neighborhoods with news from across the country and around the world. Today, we started our road trip up Central Avenue in a new series called Central. If you missed it or just want to check out a whole lot of photos, most of them taken by Mr. Photographer Mark Brody, go to theshow.kjzz.org.
Good afternoon. It's 2:45 on a Friday afternoon. This is the KJZZ Spring Member Drive, the time when we ask for you to make a contribution of financial support to support KJZZ, your public radio station. Specifically, for the next 15 minutes or so, we hope that you will give a gift of support in support of the show and the local programming, the original programming that you hear on KJZZ. Three really easy ways to do it: kjzz.org, the KJZZ mobile app, or you can go old school and use a telephone, 888-774-9150.
Was that directed at me?
No, not at all.
Okay. 888-774-9150, the number to call. When you do support KJZZ, you get a chance to win the I Love New York contest for two. So many amazing things to do in New York. Why not get in on this contest? Give yourself a chance to win while at the same time supporting this community resource. We come to you because your support, your financial support, is so vital to keeping this operation up and running and thriving into the future. When you've heard a story that you think, wow, that's fascinating, I want to tell someone about that, you definitely have done that on KJZZ, probably today. It's important that you help support it so it keeps going. So we're asking you to make a phone call and a generous contribution at 888-774-9150.
Yeah, how many times do you start a conversation with the following? So I heard this thing on KJZZ, or did you hear this story on KJZZ? I mean, I hear it a lot, and people ask me. I think they assume that I hear everything because I work in the building, but you probably say it all the time. Think about what this service is worth to you. What is it worth you to have Morning Edition as you get your day started, to get a sense of what the day is going to be like, what's going to happen, to have All Things Considered in the afternoon to sort of recap what's been going on, why you've been busy living your life during the day. A program like the show that tells you all about our community, hear stories from all over the valley and all over the state, meeting people and hearing about things that you might not hear about otherwise. Please put a dollar value on that and make your contribution right now. Maybe it's $5 or $10 a month. Maybe it's $20 or $25 a month, whatever the amount. The important thing is that you make that contribution, make that statement right now. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
By listening to public radio, you're making a statement about the kind of person you are, the kind of things that you value. You want to learn more. You want to be entertained. Also, you want interesting things, and you want an intellectual discussion. You also don't want someone to be, let's say, for example, kind of preaching to the choir. You want to hear different perspectives on things. It's why you listen to public radio. And if you like it and you want it to keep going, then listeners need to become members. So we're hoping that you'll think, you know what, I listen 5 days a week. It's worth $10 a month to me. So give us a call, 888-774-9150. Get your Friday afternoon off to a good start knowing you've done your part for public radio.
And, you know, becoming a sustaining member is a really simple way to give your contribution. You set up a certain amount of money to come off your credit card or out of your checking account. If you've got Netflix or Hulu Plus, it's basically like that just for public radio. You set it up once. You don't have to worry about it. KJZZ gets a reliable source of revenue. You don't don't have to think about whether you've made your contribution in a given month or, frankly, a given year. Set it up. It takes just a couple of minutes at kjzz.org on the mobile app or 888-774-9150.
And when you make that call to 888-774-9150, you're automatically entered to win this I Love New York contest for two. The winner will be drawn tomorrow. Don't miss out. You care about public radio and you want to win a trip. Go online to kjzz.org. We thank you very much for your support.
The Senators are not just a group of people who hang out in Capitol buildings. It's also the name of a Valley band. It considers its music indie rock with a nod to the past and includes a bit of a DIY element. The Senators will be playing the McDowell Mountain Music Festival in Phoenix tonight. We invited frontman Jesse Teer in studio to talk with us about the band's new single and what's next for the Senators. Bandmates Joe Bitz and Jason Yee also came to play a Tiny Desert concert for us. I asked Jesse about trying to set his band apart from others with a similar sound.
There are bands that do play similarly, but I think the songwriting separates everything. I think everyone has a different voice that gets it out there. So I don't think we're too concerned about not being, you know, this or that. Just being true to the music that we want to write. And I think that's one of the things in the Phoenix scene that's beautiful. So a couple weeks back, we had Viva Phoenix, where there were, you know, 90 bands playing across downtown. And the diversity that you see of mostly local bands, that diversity is something that makes me proud, because I think I was out in Atlanta, and I love the city, but their music scene was not as diverse. Like, it was very structured into like a couple pockets and a couple of sounds, but you can find anything you want to in Phoenix right now. So I'm proud of our scene.
You've said that one of your goals is to sort of have a sound of the desert, and I'm curious what that means.
I think the feeling of the desert, you know, when you talk to people from the East Coast, they think we're all sand dunes and cactus and camels. I don't know where they get camels from. But I think there are some pieces of the way our land looks, some of the design concept that you can see walking around that you know, don't see in any place else in the world. And so I think some of that openness, if we want to get technical, there's like maybe a little reverb makes a band sound like they are like in this spaciousness. So the beauty of the place we're in, I think that translates, and we try to capture it in ways that might be a little less real and specific and more emotional.
So you guys have a new single. Can you play it for us?
Yeah. This is our new single. It's called Hummingbird.
I've been sinking like a stone, and I've been falling so long and hard for that blue-eyed one. Ooh, we've been dancing in the dust, we've been kicking up dust like it was some old tan revival. You're an anchor in that storm, whoa, whoa, and that northern wind it blows, ooh, ooh, love to keep me warm, love to keep me warm. Keep me warm.
That was the new single from the Senators called Hummingbird, speaking with Jesse Teer of the Senators. So what do you see for the Senators going forward? What's next for you guys?
It was great last year. We got to feature in some of the major markets. And while touring, I think, can sometimes be a lot of time and a lot of gas money, we'll probably hit some more major markets maybe later this year. But I think that the model is more about getting the music out there to users in the way that people are really accessing music now. So we are going to stay independent as much as we can. And the internet's alive with artists now. So we just need to continue to get music out and on the platforms that are there to support independent artists.
With all those new platforms, I mean, are there ones that you have found more advantageous to what you're trying to do than others?
Well, yeah. You know, the dream now, I think, for a band is to get on some great Spotify playlist because everybody will hear you. So those streaming services where people aren't necessarily purchasing, but streaming are huge.
So can you play us a song to go out?
Yeah, this is actually a song that we're working on. It'll be one of our next single releases as we're doing a line of them, and it's called Carlos Song.
Just boys aiming arrows. No, the thought won't hit you. Never shot through my mind. And that's all right. So just always be.
We've been speaking with Jesse Teer of the Senators. We also heard from Jason Yee on drums and Joe Bitz on the mandolin and the keyboards. The band will be performing at the McDowell Mountain Music Festival this evening at Hans Park in downtown Phoenix. You can see videos of the Senators performing their two songs that they played at the KJZZ studios. Just go to kjzz.org. If you are in a band and would like to play a Tiny Desert concert here at KJZZ, just send us an email, theshow@kjzz.org.
If you're looking for something to do tonight and the show is not hypnotizing enough, you'll want to see Flip Orley. He's a stand-up comedy hypnotist. That's tonight at 7:30. Also Saturday night at Stand Up Live in Phoenix.
Phoenix Bike Fest is tomorrow at Westgate in Glendale.
And you'll want to be at the Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino tonight at 8 for 38 special. Because why, Mark?
You gotta hang on loosely, right?
I think it's hold on loosely.
Hold on loosely. I blew that one.
You were kind of hanging on loosely right
there. Yeah, I was to my line here. Lots of spring training around the valley, too, if you want some Major League Baseball action. Plenty of that. In addition, the Suns host the Portland Trail Blazers tonight at 7 in downtown Phoenix.
Good afternoon with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein. It's the KJZZ Spring Member Drive. We're coming to you right now to ask for your contribution for the public radio you listen to every day. Be as generous as you can and join Chris in Paradise Valley, who went to the web, kjzz.org. Also heard from Karen in Phoenix, who became a sustaining member at 888-774-9150.
Chris and Karen also might be heading off to New York City, the I Love New York contest for two. Somebody's going to win this thing. When you make your contribution right now, you'll get yourself entered. The contest ends tomorrow at noon, so you had a little bit of time, but not a whole heck of a lot of it. It's 5 days, 4 nights in a 4-star hotel, round-trip airfare for two, $500 to spend as you wish in New York City. So many great things you could do there, and so many great things you can do right now by making your contribution, namely keeping this service strong. That's really what this is all about, keeping KJZZ strong, showing your support for original productions like the show, Morning Edition, All Things Considered. All of it is thanks to your generous financial support. You can donate directly on the KJZZ mobile app, on kjzz.org, or by calling 888-774-9150.
If you were told you could get unbiased news and analysis from your backyard, across the country, and around the world every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, how much would you pay for that? That's kind of what we're asking you to do right now. You listen frequently. You think this is an important part of your day to learn and enrich your life. Well, this is a community resource that counts on listeners becoming members to help pay for the programs, to help pay for our equipment, to keep the lights on, to give you the in-depth reporting you've come to expect. So please put a dollar value on that. If you could afford $10 a month, we'd gladly accept that. If you could afford $1 a day, that would be great as well. The key thing is to keep going, keep the foundation of public radio strong here in the Valley, and call 888-774-9150.
Just think about what you've heard over the last hour on the show. You heard about the controversy in the Peoria Unified School District dealing with whether or not to go to a four-day school week. We started the Central Avenue series, heard a lot of voices from South Phoenix. We'll be hearing much more of the voices from along Central Avenue over the weeks to come. You heard just now a Tiny Desert concert, a local band, a Valley-based band that you're probably not going to hear a lot of on the radio. Steve did a wonderful interview about a controversy in Arcadia in that neighborhood in Phoenix. You don't hear stories like this other than on public radio, other than on the show. Please put a dollar value on that listening and make your contribution right now. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
Your contribution really is vital to making this possible, making this happen. And your generosity over the years has been great. If you've already given, we thank you very much. Maybe we don't thank folks enough for doing that. But if you haven't, there is still room for you, and there's still plenty of need for you to keep this kind of programming going strong on the air. Your unbiased source for news and information, your community resource. Give us a call at 888-774-9150.
Maybe we don't thank people enough, so I will try to rectify that. Thank you to Logan in Glendale, who became a new sustaining member, David in Phoenix, a sustaining member, Barry in Scottsdale, Alan in Phoenix. They have all done their part. They've also gotten themselves entered to win the I Love New York contest for two. Now it's your turn. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
This is listener-supported KJZZ-FM Phoenix and HD. We hope if you're a listener, you'll become a member right now. $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. What fits your budget? How much do you listen to this radio station? Make the call. 888-774-9150 or online at KJZZ.org. Thanks very much for your support.